Today is Friday, February 20th, 2009. This is LTUE. The panel is Blurb Writing 101.
Happy to have you. This hour we'll have Leslie Muir and Lytle. And so we're talking about Blurb Writing 101, how to package a novel in 25 words or less for using queries, face-to-face pitches, and elevators. That is in 25 words.
I sure hope so. I haven't looked, but now I guess I'll have to. Okay.
How to corner editors and beat them up. There you go.
I didn't take my blood pressure medicine today, so my head let's talk about why 25 words. Exactly, especially now, right? Nowadays, that's their attention span, but actually, not really. Does anybody here take or subscribe to the newsletter Publishers Weekly? Publishers Weekly newsletter. They have a lunch weekly, I think is what it's called. It's a little bit longer version. And if you look at all of those announcements of what's been purchased, you count the words after it says, this is what's being published, this is what's been published by, you count the words and it'll be the last 25 words. Almost every time, I think I caught one once that was one word over. I also caught one once where they had left out an A. But when you were reading through it, you read through it so quickly you didn't realize the A was missing. Until, you know, go back and count. But so this is our industry. Whether you are a screenwriter or a novelist, this is our industry's way of selling itself. This is your commercial. And if you think about it, you ultimately if you did it the right way, and you go through and you find an agent first. Then you are selling this to an agent. You get 10 seconds of their time before they start thinking about how they're going to let you know. If they're reading your, say you send them a query, they give you like a 10-second glance at your query before they decide whether or not you're good enough to invest another 10 seconds. So really, this blurb only buys you the next 10 seconds so that they read your query all the way through, your one-page query, and if it's more than a page, they get a ticket. So you have 10 seconds to catch them, hook them, lots of people call it a hook. If you do a good job with your blurb, that will buy you another 10 seconds. You're going to give them a bigger blurb to hook them even more. And then that 10 seconds will buy you the magic 10 seconds. And the magic 10 seconds is the 10 seconds it takes for them to hit reply and ask you for more. That's the magic 10 seconds you want. That's what we're going for. But you can't get to that magic 10 seconds until you sold them on the first 10 seconds. And you can say 25 words or less in less than 10 seconds. So we're going for that 10 seconds, another 10 seconds, and a 10-second email. And those precious 30 seconds are going to buy you about 3 minutes of their attention, where they're going to ask for your stuff, and they'll take about 3 minutes looking at your first few pages. And if you don't know how to write, I'm here to tell you, they will know in 3 minutes. And they're going to look at their pile of scripts next to them that they've got hours and hours and hours to write or to read through. And if you haven't gotten them within those first, say, 3 pages, they're going to set it in the pile for some flunky to send you a nice little rejection letter. If you're lucky, maybe they'll give you some suggestions and have that sent on. And then they're going to go to the next one on the pile. So knowing that you get 3 minutes and 30 seconds, what is the most important thing to do with it? Excellent question. you've got to be brief. Every single word you use in this 25 words, well, the 25 golden words, every word needs to be concise and concise. Nice. I told you before you speak, right? I'm right? It needs to be concise. It needs to be pithy. It needs to be charged. Every word needs to mean something. You don't want passive words in there. You don't want kinda or he wanted. You want he wants. You want really passionate, powerful words, and you want it to make sense. You don't want it so incredibly complicated that they can't follow it. And you want a little bit of your voice in there. You want a little bit of your characters in there. So how do you do this in 25 words?
Why we're here.
Sounds horrible, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like the scariest dang thing in the world? You've got to do this amazing thing with 25 words.
Yeah. But you've got to know your story well enough that you've got, you can explain the main conflict or the central driving, what drives the book in that well. You need to know your book well enough.
Yes, you need to know your book well enough. You need, very nice point. You need to know your character well enough. Which brings me to another point. Let me cover this really quickly. The reason why we're doing this 25 words is so we can sell it. But we're not the only ones that have to sell this. We have to sell it to an agent if we're doing it this the normal way. We've got to sell this to an agent. The agent has to sell it to an editor. And most of the time, the editor they're going to be sending it to, it's not the main editor, it's not the head editor, it's some flunky. And that flunky is going to have to sell it to her boss, or his boss, and their boss. So it's going to have to be sold four times, and if you think that his agent and three other editors are going to take the time to read your entire script and know, or even your synopsis, and know your story so well that they're going to be able to articulate this beautiful speech and sell it to the next guy up the line, you're wrong. The only thing you're going to be using to sell it are these 25 words.
They also have to be convinced in those 25 words that they can take those 25 words or some permutation thereof and sell it to bookstores.
Right.
And the bookstores will be able to sell it to readers. This is the equivalent of a high form haiku, where you are writing a poem. This is an art form. This is
who's scared to death that they will not be able to pull this off. Who has the greatest book ever written? Poetry? Oh my gosh. Wait till they read that one line. This is good stuff, right? I'm never going to get to it. I'm never going to be able to write that blurb, right? Wrong. Forget about your story. Forget about everything you want to portray in those 25 golden words and write a commercial. Take off your writer's hat. Take off your editor's hat. Put on your marketing hat. Okay? This will take you a half an hour to do. I promise you, it'll take you a half an hour to do. Okay? I'm just going to be brave today. That's what I'm wondering. You'll be brave today? Alright, hang on.
Wait a minute.
Hang on to your hats. I have to say hats because we're at BYU. By the way, once you've attended BYU, you get to use it inappropriately. Okay. Okay. Now, some of you have already heard this a million times. Maybe you've heard it once. Maybe you haven't, and you're brilliant. This is not my work, okay? Let's talk about the easiest sell that I know of was the movie Alien. Before Alien came out, the biggest horror movie ever was what? Jaws. Jaws didn't need 25 words to sell. Jaws had one little line, and it was a warning. Anybody know it?
Don't go in the water.
Don't go in the water. That was a great hook. Great hook. But when Alien came along, That's right. In space, no one can hear you scream. Okay, now we're not up to 25 words.
Yeah. It's basically what we're looking for is just a good tagline.
Well, that's what we're talking about right now is the hook and the tag. Blurb is just a little bit bigger than that. Okay, so Alien, do you remember what the tagline was for it? Or the hook? Anybody remember this? Jobs in space. Somebody else has heard this or read this before. Jobs in space.
Huh.
Okay. Why did we know exactly the emotional experience we were going to have when we watched Aliens? Because we had seen Jaws. We had had this horror. Whether we were allowed to go see Jaws or weren't allowed to go see Jaws, just the commercials from Jaws could bring on, could tell us exactly what kind of experience this was going to be. Right? We've got, in space, no one can hear you scream. Jaws in space, best date movie ever, right? So anyway, this is part of your marketing. Okay? Does this tell us anything about what happens on Alien?
No.
Give us any kind of hint as to really horrible babies being born? Anything like that? Anything about a romance between the creepy alien and his victim? Anything at all? Anything about the story?
No.
Anything about the story get told here?
A hint, but...
Don't go in the water. I'll tell you why. Okay, we're going to tell you why. There's a shark in the water.
That's
25 words, right? Okay. So this is what we're going to do for you guys. We are going to use a recipe that is going to take absolutely the most sellable, universally relatable emotion out of what you've written, and we're going to be able to give you 25 words to work with. Okay? Everybody here is going to help. This doesn't take long. Okay, I teach this online. And so, forgive me if some of this, if I veer off. I'll blame it on that. Okay. So, first thing you need is a summary of your story. Who has it down to like 50-ish words? You do?
The leader in training to the group of magicians feels that she is unworthy of the position and leaves to join the army to learn to defend herself.
Okay, tell us more now. Now, everybody listen.
She goes against at the current moment, the term is headmaster's wishes, and takes a group of students out into the surrounding area around the school, and her little sister ends up getting killed. So she is so torn with guilt that she's like, I don't deserve this position. I don't deserve what I'm expected. I'm not ready for the responsibility. And decides, well, I've always wanted to see the world. What better way than go join the army?
Okay, so we have a setup for your story. Right? Everybody has a little bit of a grasp on the setup for the story. How does your main character, I take it this is not a romance. You haven't mentioned hero or anything.
There is a romantic subplot.
Okay, subplot. So we're talking about a heroine. So just briefly, very briefly, tell me what the character arc is. Where does she start? Well, we've seen where she started. So she's failed at her one task, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does she develop? Just quickly.
She joins the army, ends up getting put under the command of a man who thinks he is... His point is, I will never amount to what my family expects me to be, so I'm not going to try as much as I can. And through watching...
This is the guy that she's under?
Yeah.
Okay.
And through watching him, she comes to appreciate the fact that she really is ready for it more than she thought she was.
Okay. She tries, she pulls the sword out of the stone at the end, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we need 25 words from you people. Just kidding. We're going to go for about 10... And this is the easiest thing, because you're just going to tell me the words you remember, or the emotion you remember, or what is the effect that hearing this had on you. Just give me single words.
failure.
Okay. Army? Wizard?
Magic.
Did you say wizard? Oh, I missed that.
System.
Dead.
Okay, we'll put dead sister together.
Maybe
it's
not sacrifice.
Maybe fallout or
consequence. Expectation.
You know what? This guy that she's underneath, he sounds pretty depressing to me. Let's leave him now. Okay? And he's the guy that has the expectations, or she does also?
She has the expectations of being the headmaster in training, but he also kind of has a great, you know, he's the fourth child in his family.
Okay.
So, and all of his older siblings have amounted to pretty decent things, and his family's expecting great things from him.
Okay, so he has a lack of expectations, and she has too many expectations? Is that fair?
Great.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got 10-ish words here. Anything else exciting?
Love.
Did you hear
Didn't
love?
Hear any.
Didn't hear any love. You're getting no love here.
Overcoming.
Okay.
Exploration or trap.
I'm sorry, what was for trap?
Exploration.
Oh,
adventure.
That's right. She wanted to see the world, right? Not that she deserves to. Okay. So, come on up here. From what you told us, these are the most sellable, universally, oh my gosh,
that's a word.
Okay, thank you. So we can relate to this, right? If we can't relate to wizards, we've all read about them, right? We can relate to everything that's happened to her. You go ahead over here and use as many of these as you can in a 25-word sentence.
Oh, my.
Oh, jeez.
Okay? Now, it's easier than you think. First of all, it doesn't have to match your story. Okay? You just make them into a sentence, and then you're going to tweak them a little bit to match your story. Okay? No problem. You're going to have lots of time, and nobody's going to stare at you while you do this. No, just kidding. So just try to tune us out a little bit while you're doing this, okay? I'm going to tell you about this charming woman who is in Reader's Group, or Writer's Group, that I belong to. She has been in the same Writer's Group for about 15 years. Maybe 20, because I'm sure it started in the early 90s. So, yeah, well, let's say 15 years. She's an older woman. She's been working on the same storyline all 15 years. But as time goes by and things change, she changes her story because she wants it to be up to date, right? She has the same basic story, she has the same basic characters, but, you know, she adds things and changes things. She's perpetually working on her script. Well, when we did this workshop for that writer's group, she was one of the volunteers. And so we had her read, and she had gotten her blurb down to like 158 words. She counted every one. And we asked her to read her blurb. And everybody's going like, oh my gosh, we've been critiquing parts of this story for 15 years. But, you know, we'll listen to it. So we listened to her story, and we took out the 25 words. And when we put those 25 words together, I tell you, any agent would have asked to see pages for this. Because the words she had in there were email, terrorists, somebody had intercepted, accidentally been sent an email that was to be sent to, you know, the other terrorists, they're, you know, organizing themselves. She had so many hot words in the description of her script that there's no way anybody would pass on that. And it was just amazing. Because you take the most syllable words. You know, I don't care if the whole book is about grandma. If you have syllable items in your story, you can sell it. Because all we have to do is get that script in front of them, and then our writing is going to just wow them. It won't matter what matches, what doesn't match. You've got, you know, this subject matter in there, and they can find it, but at least we can get it, in front of their faces. Yes,
So this may sound like a dunce question, but where do you come up with the syllable words? I mean, we were listening to her describe her story, and we heard, you know, things that stuck with us.
Uh-huh.
How do we
come up with those? This is the recipe. First of all, you need the description of your story, just like she gave us. Okay? 158, let's say between, you know, 50 and 158. What is best to put in there is your character arc. Your, you know, most exciting parts of your plot, pretend like you're pitching it to somebody. You've got a 5-minute pitch and you're going to tell them about your story. Done? Okay, sit down right there for just a minute. So, you have this group of words about this wonderful story that you just can't express in these many words, okay? So you've got that. The next thing you need for my red magic recipe is a sucker. And I'm not talking about one on a stick. I'm talking about a neighbor, your trusted friend, your mother, but only if she's a positive influence in your life. So you need a guinea pig, and this is what you're going to tell them. You're going to say, I want to tell you about my story. Have you got 5 minutes? And they're going to say, sure. It's going to be a neighbor over a fence. You can be in the backyard. You can be out, you know, she can be out weeding her garden, you know. Pounce on the old woman weeding her garden. Whatever you have to do. You find this sucker, and it has to be an unbiased sucker. Don't call a writer friend. Don't call somebody who's heard your story before. You need a fresh sucker. A fresh wrapper. Okay? Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to tell them the story just like she did. And then after it's all done, then you're going to say, I need some magic words from you. I need you to tell me, give me a list of the things you remember, the things that stood out, the things that you can relate to, that you saw in a movie last week, anything that you think was a great word, or even if it's just the impression. The impression I got was, like, depression, just absolutely bottom of the barrel. Oh my gosh, how am I going to live through this? So that's going to be a hard thing for her to overcome, because the first thing, I just go like this on here, the story. So you got to give me hope, okay? And I'd start out on something, you know, really in your face. You know, I tell them about this kick butt battle where the sister dies. And then go on and say, and this is how we get through this. Okay? But you need something a little bit more in your face. So then you're going to get these magic words back from her, and you're going to be able to make something amazing with them. And then you're going to stare at them too long. And then they're going to twist around, and they're not going to look so amazing anymore. So put them aside, boil your noodles for dinner or whatever, and after dinner go back to them. But I swear to you, 30 minutes total to do this. Okay? And then put it aside and work on something else. And when you go back to it, you can go back to it a couple of times, tweak it, and say, oh my gosh, this is boring. I've got to get another sucker. Okay? Improve the storytelling ability that you had when you told it to the first sucker. and say, oh, I wish I would have told her about that. Oh, if she would have known about that, she would have given me a different word here. Tell it to one more sucker, get another 10 words or whatever, and put them all together and see what you can come up with.
I think the single most difficult part of this whole process you've described is the part where you pantomimed changing hats. A lot of people just flat out don't understand that they can put on another hat. It is really hard to change from being a writer into being a marketing guy. I've worked as a marketing guy, so I know what that hat looks like,
yeah.
And I look at this and I think, yeah, this isn't all that hard.
You know what, for an exercise, people who don't understand the changing of the hats, for an exercise, seriously, you get 3 different hats. And when you are editing your work or going through reading your stuff, maybe I'm just going to read it for fun. I'm not really going to critique anything. I'm not really going to correct anything. Oh, but just those 2 things. Put on your editor's hat. If you know you're going to be reading through something and maybe changing it, put on this hat, call it your editor's hat. Okay, I'm being critical of my work. Okay? If you're sitting down and punching out words or squeezing out words, put on the writer's hat, a physical writer's hat. You know, my mother, best thing I got when my mother died was her big red hat. From the big red hat, red and purple club, whatever it is. I don't know why I look at you when I say my mother. I have no idea. Maybe she wore denim. I have no idea. So, anyway, so I have this big red hat. That's my editor's hat. Because my mother was. My mother would have liked to have been an editor, so that's just a good hat. So I have a red hat for my editor's hat. I have a cowboy hat for my writer's hat. For a marketing hat, oh my gosh.
Devil's horns?
No, oh my, I had an aunt. I had an aunt. Looked so much like I do now, which is scary. She would go to the florist, oh yeah, by the way, I followed in her footsteps there too when I was a florist. She would go to the florist conventions, and she would wear the most outrageous hat she could find. And I was given her yellow hat. It's kind of grayish, but it has a big yellow plume off the side of it. So I wear that when I'm thinking, okay, I pretend I wear it. I never put this thing on. I just would look too much like it. But this I have set aside, and I say, okay, this is my marketing hat. Why? Because it's loud, it's in your face, it's aggressive, and that's what you have to be. If you want to get your stuff in front of people, be aggressive. You know, don't think, I have written the greatest American novel, and somebody's going to find it. If I just go to a few writers' conferences, share my ideas with a few people, they'll tell two friends, and it'll get to the right editor, and they'll come looking for me. Never happened. Okay, it happened like that one. I have a friend that happened to, so it's never going to happen to anybody else. Right? Somebody said, I don't like what you've got. Do you know anybody who's written a time travel that's good? She said, oh, yeah, I do. She's like, send it to me. So this is 2 years ago, and now Melissa Mayhew has her 6th book contract with Pocket Books, which is huge. So, of course, I can't have it. So, although they are. Okay, so, put on your marketer's hat and be so aggressive. Forget that you're the writer of this thing. Forget you're the editor and say, I need a commercial. I don't need a YouTube commercial. I just need 25 words. Give me the best thing you've got. And if you go to somebody and they can't give you enough to come up with a great 25 words or less, then maybe you need to look at your story. Look at your character arcs. Maybe your characters need to make change. Maybe you don't realize how much your characters have changed. Maybe you need to get to know them better. Script I'm working on now. Called Going Back to Romeo. I have worked on this blurb every class I've taught. You know, here's the blurb, oh my gosh, it's so great. And I'd send it off in queries, and then I'd look at it and I'd say, no, it's great, it's as good as it can get. Last week, I'm looking at this thing and I'm realizing I haven't understood her motivation the whole time. I've written this book, I've sold this book, I've told the world about this book and sold them on the concept, but I never got that her basic motivation. The basic motivation that gets her on the road to all the other things that she gets to. What gets your character on the road is so, you know, you can go back, redo, but not, don't spend a lot of time on it. If you've got a book written and you've got queries going out, send it out to 10 agents. Same query letter, same, well, you got to make sure they don't know you're doing it. Okay. Okay, I went to Romance Writers of America has a national conference every year, and this year it was in San Francisco, and I went there and I went to a panel that had the most cutting edge agencies in New York that push romance, and they had their top editor from, or top agent from all of these agencies, and the one thing that they all agreed on, even though, you know, they're always doing lunch, they know what's on each other's desks. They can. And they said, we know you're sending this out to 10 other agents. Let us pretend like you're only sending it to us. So make sure that your query letters are individualized. Look up their blogs, read their stuff, you know. Let them know that you get who they are, and that's why you're sending this. But you send it out to 10 people, and then you forget it, and you work on your next. And if it doesn't work, try some more and try some more. And if it doesn't work, send like 10 batches out. Take a look at your blurb. Go back and see if you can tweak it more. Make it more sellable. Make it more in your face. Give them teeth. Give them sharp, pointy, sharp teeth. You know, because even if it's a beautifully, poetically written, sweet little love story, could be on a movie screen in 7 years if it gets into the right hands. So it doesn't matter if you have a small voice, if you can't. If it kills you to have to ask your neighbor to read this, you know, find somebody that's at least, you know, closer in your comfort zone if you can. But if not, you know, just push yourself enough to get those words handed back to you, and then try that. So let's see what you've got.
Vin is the second headmaster for Wizards. From a fallout, her sister is killed. She overcomes her expectations and guilt by joining the Army to explore.
Okay. There are... Okay. First of all, you can tighten and combine, and it looks like you already have. You've tightened and combined a lot of material there. This tells me the beginning of the story. So when you do a blurb for a query letter, you could start out with this for your 25 words at the top, and then you need like 25 words. You're gonna need a little bit more than that to be able to tell them what the character is, or give them a reason why the Army. You know, through being able to, you know, compare notes with this guy or whatever. You know, I'm sorry. Words. Give me a sorry.
Do you want the whole story in your blurb? Is that what, in that 25 words?
You want the most. No, you just want the marketable stuff. Okay. Just the marketable stuff. I don't get any emotion here, so maybe you can throw some kind of an emotion here. Make it more compelling. There's no win or lose. It's got to be, you know, she's got to save the day. You know, just get over this. She's got to save the day. You know, I hate to make it sound like a pageant, but, you know, that she wants to get over this and wants world peace. You know, she's got to save the world. Give her something else to do besides getting over her sister's death, or else it needs to be all about getting over the sister's death. And
do you even need to say that the sister is killed, or could you just say tragic events lead her?
You know what? The more vague you get, the less interesting it is. Mm.
I think possibly one of the problems is, or one of the things that you could work on is, when if you're using just to be or state of being verbs, that doesn't have as much of an impact as using an action verb. Like, so saying her sister is killed, say her sister dies, you know, something like
right.
that.
Right. You want this as aggressive as possible.
Question, where does this that we've written on the board, is that all in the first chapter? Is that all in the first act? Or is that the whole book?
That's pretty much the first act.
Okay, that's the first act. So there's got to be
so
a big climax
why we ended
somewhere
up with
in the
just the first act in your query.
Yeah. If there's a big event in the second act, you know,
yeah.
blurb, and I'm just going to rattle off words here. You know, enemy drumming. Rin is outnumbered, but she doesn't care because her sister's dead, and she has no expectation to win this time either. Bam.
Well, depressing, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that could be tightened
right.
way up,
right.
but that establishes a conflict and throws a little piece of that origin story in there and kind of tells us where the book's going.
Okay, or turn it around and say, she doesn't care, but then, you know, but she has to go on because of this.
Right.
Right, and so at least we end up being able to scoop up.
I was going to say maybe a good way to start this would be to overcome tragedy and then say who she is and where she's going.
Yeah.
Rather than starting with a passive phrase
yeah.
of who she is.
Very nice. Thank you. We can start out with two words. Rin's guilt. The original prompt was use as many words as was possible. So
right.
Mm-hmm. I tried to word it like that.
Right. And then the most important thing for you to take away from this, the most important thing, is you listen. Don't do things because I told you to do it a certain way. If you say, oh, this is a great advice, it worked for this book, it's not going to work for this. Not going to hurt my feelings, I won't know about it. But this is the same thing with the panels, with everything, with how to attack an agent. Sorry, target an agent. Sorry. Actually, I did, and that's kind of, you know.
It's a good podcast.
Well,
just on a side note, I'm just wondering, like, let's say you go to a writing conference and there's agents there.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be okay to give them your query letter there? Or no, it's something you need to send?
No, you... They dread conferences because everybody who didn't get an appointment with them is going to try and pitch them somewhere. In a food line, in the bathroom. Oh my gosh.
Don't do that.
I have a friend that did that. I couldn't sit by her the rest of the time. Everything they dread happens at a conference, and every once in a while they'll get something really good out of it. So, you know, try not to attack them. Go ahead and target them by signing up for conferences early so that you're one of the first ones who gets to choose who you're going to pitch to. Look at who they've got coming. Look at what they represent. Look at who they've represented. If you're looking at editors, look at what they've published. Pull up exactly what they've published for the last few months and know that. So if the opportunity arises that you can drop that title into a conversation, they'll be like, oh my gosh, you really know what's happening in my world. We can probably work together.
One of the things that we had worked on when I was a corporate evil mastermind was what we called the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
And we called it that because this is what you are trained to say about the company or the product or whatever while you are in an elevator with somebody
right.
who has expressed a modicum of interest.
Okay, an elevator is much different than the bathroom and when they're trying to relax and get their dinner.
Yeah.
Elevator pitches are expected, but they have to invite you to do it.
Yeah, that's they have to
you
express
look at
interest.
Their, you look at their tag, say, oh, you're so-and-so. Well, I'm so-and-so from, you know, this chapter of RWA or from League of Utah Writers or whatever. And you let them say, oh, what do you write? Well, I just happen to have 25 words. And that's all the time they really want you to spend, 25 words. And you would be amazed at how many people say, oh, well, here's my card. Send me your sample chapters.
As long as they can hand you their card when the elevator doors open. Don't be following them through the convention trying to rattle off 150 words.
No. You, and do not hit the stop button.
No.
Oh, God. Very tempted to hit that stop button just a few months ago. It's very tempting. And you, well, anyway. This is how I found my agent and editor. I joined the RWA. And a year and a half later, after learning that I hadn't been a good writer to start with, but I was then. I volunteered to be the president of the chapter, which was last year. And I volunteered to be the conference coordinator for the year. And so I got to call the editors and agents. And I got to choose who was going to come to talk. And I found the agent that I wanted and that would want me. And I found the editor that would want me. And I had them come. And I scheduled my appointments with them. Well, I okay, but just because it's small. Best time to get in an agent editor appointment is the very last before a break or the very first after a break. Be the most memorable that way. If you think this is an American Idol, you were dead wrong. Who always remembers who went first the night before? You always remember who got to sing first. You remember their number, you can call and vote for them, right? Same thing. Same thing with the other agent appointment. I was, oh my gosh, you guys are going to know how awful I am. Wow. No, I didn't take my medications today. Okay. I was really careful about who I scheduled before and after me.
Oh, no.
You've read the prints.
I'm telling you, you be aggressive, and you can get what you want.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, don't tell anybody else that. Please, if you join RWA, honey, you have
to go. It's been recorded.
Seriously. Okay, when Carolyn, you tell her. I'm sure we know
that. That is great.
So, wow, what else cutthroat? How much time have we got?
7 minutes.
7 minutes? Okay, thank you very much. As quickly as possible, who would like to know?
Go ahead. I would. Okay, I have a little blurb on my card. So Anthony Danik knows darkness. He lives it every day as a corporate hitman. When the atheist assassin is called to be a prophet, he begins the process of deconstruction, how it will take him through the depths of a hell that he doesn't believe exists.
Oh,
it's
my
more
gosh.
Worse, though.
That's fabulous!
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that you have to cut all this. Okay. Okay, this will be good. Okay. This will be easy. Read it one more time, and then we'll take 10 words.
Okay.
Can you read it louder?
Anthony Danik knows darkness.
Louder, dear.
Louder.
Anthony Danik knows darkness. Sorry, I have a frog in my throat. He lives it every day as a corporate hitman. When the atheist assassin is called to be a prophet, he begins a process of deconstruction that will take him through the depths of a hell he doesn't believe exists.
Deconstruction.
I really love that last line. Okay, depths of hell. How many words is that?
It's 44 words.
No, I mean depths of hell to the end. Depths of a hell.
Yeah, that last line stands intact.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Hang on just a second. Stena. Welcome to my elevator. Here. Sorry to do this to you. We gotta make this 7 minutes good, right? 6 minutes. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
I am the editor of the biggest publishing house you've ever heard of. And I'm actually actively acquiring your own special jumpers. And you're from?
Utah.
What do you write?
I write speculative fiction.
Oh, very interesting. What have you written?
I've written a story about an assassin who's called to be a prophet, and by being called as a prophet, he begins to deconstruct as an assassin in order to become a good guy or the prophet.
Oh, you know what? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Is that not pretty good?
Yeah.
Hey, this is what you need to be prepared with. You need to be prepared for a vocal conversation. 25 words are great. We're going to use them in our blurb. When we get stumped, we can use them in a conversation. And just, you know, even if they sound stilted, if they're fantastic words, they'll catch on. But you also need to have a conversation. Okay? And this is my last piece of advice. You need to get really friendly with this 25-word conversation. After you've got it, after you've got your 25 words, after you've worked it over a couple of times, you're comfortable with it, you think, you know, this is sellable, this is good, this is what I'm going to practice. I want you to bathe with it. And I want you to bathe more often than you usually do. I want you to stand in the shower. Thank you. I want you to stand in the shower and give it every time you stand in the shower. Every time you get in the bathtub. And if you stumble and fall, start over. And so when the opportunity comes. Okay, another confession. Thank you. One more confession. Because I was president of the chapter, I felt it behooved me to go to a book signing of a romance author that I did not read, but she's in the grocery store. She's the biggest thing ever. So I went to this book signing in Salt Lake. I'll tell you who it was. Okay. They had a book signing at a yarn shop.
Oh!
We have to talk. I'm going to buy you some chocolate. So we go to this because this author likes to knit. So doing a knitting party with the book signing. The author was much more involved with the knitting than she was with the book signing. But I went in, I bought the book, I introduced myself. It's her editor sitting next to her. She's gone on this book signing with her editor. Big house, big author, sitting right there, all taking knitting, all the way around me. Nobody else at the table. And I have this editor sitting right there. And Leslie, who teaches people to never leave home without your toolbox full of your hook and your pitch and your blurb, never got a word off.
Oh!
Not a word. And this editor was sitting there, I swear, I've never... Okay, I could sit down with just about anybody and act like I'm their best friend. You know? I really can. I could talk to anybody. Could not talk to this woman. Could not. I said a couple of friendly things to her and got this back. And she was as bored as I was because she's not a knitter. And we sat there like this. Because she had to finish, the author had to finish knitting her row or whatever it was before she was going to sign my book. So there's like 5 minutes of me standing like this in front of an editor.
You've got to be kidding me.
I seriously kicked myself 40 minutes home after that. And then what was worse was I ran into this editor at a party at Nationals where she was there to celebrate my friend getting her award for the one that she's done at Pocket. And I looked at her and she looked at me and she just went, okay. We're not doing those 5 minutes again. And I'm like, oh yeah, we're not. So you have to have this toolbox. If you have nothing else, if you can't even remember what your story's about because you had other things on your mind, have this toolbox, have these tools on your tongue. Go to the, you know, when you're in the shower, practice them. I don't care if your family thinks you're really weird. I don't care if your family thinks you're overly clean. Okay? You need to get these, you need to be able to stand there in front of a stranger and say, hi, I know you don't represent my genre, but this is what I've written, and if you have any suggestions on who might be interested in it, I would really appreciate it. And she could have rattled off 5 other agents to me. And then I could have sent them a nice little query that says, so-and-so from so-and-so, the biggest what in you-know-what, told me I should send this to you. And there's your in. You get to skip a couple of 10 minutes is in there. And get to give them, you know, 10 really great ones, and they'll ask for 3 minutes. Thank you.
Wait.
Sorry.
Sorry, question. You said you have some of the stuff on your website? Right? Or what? No.
I write as Ainsley McQueen.
Oh, so do you have a...
A-I-N-S-L-E-Y.
It's on
there. And when you pick a pen name, people, pick some that's, you know, spelled normal. .com. And at the very back, it just tells you which workshops to teach.
Okay.
But I teach online workshops, and you get the whole spiel over again. But it's not as fun as, you know, doing it without my medication.